You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I prepared a big sit-down dinner party for 40 people.
Oh, my.
What? And so I had everything. I love to cook. I love to entertain. And he didn't show up. Well, I was a little bit upset, to say the least. He didn't show up, and I thought, well, I'll just get through it as best I can. I made every excuse under the sun for him, and people left after we ate. We sat around, talked, played a few games, and then about 3 o'clock in the morning, he came home, and I said, where have you been? We had lots of company here for your birthday, and he said, well, his friend had a party for him, too, and that's where he was. And we got into a fight, and he called me a religious bee. And that was the maddest I've ever been. And I happened to have an iron skillet in my hand, and I just slung it. I could have killed the poor man because it whizzed by his head, and I knew instantly I shouldn't have done it. But I really, really was angry, and I said, I won't ever do it again, I promise. And he said, you're blank right, you won't. And he walked out, and I didn't see him for a while. But that was really one of the only arguments we ever had, because we really never learned to argue. That was our problem. And my parents didn't fight. His parents didn't fight. So we didn't learn how to fight. We've learned how to fight in latter years, but we did it graciously. But that was really a bad time.
I remember one time that there were a couple ladies that ill-treated me socially in Nashville, Tennessee. And so 30 years later, I'm driving down A1A here in Vero Beach, Florida, and I'm still angry with those ladies. And all of a sudden, the Lord, an unction with inside, says, oh, well, 30 years, that's a long time. Have you changed since then? I said, oh, yeah, I'm not the same person I was. And the Lord said, either are those ladies. They've grown. So the women that you have hate for or disdain for, hate's a pretty strong word, so let's say disdain, they're no longer alive. And I went, oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, all that unforgiveness, whew, was gone. Yeah. And I've never been bitter towards those women again. Isn't that something?
But God can do that. God just does wonderful things. Now, we packed up everything and moved to Seattle. And my company transferred me. He got a job. And we had him over to dinner one night, his bosses. And my husband went on to share that we had made money on the home we sold. And so that was a big mistake, because
Why?
They jumped on it and offered to let him buy into the company. Because it was new for me getting him back home again. I wasn't going to say a word. I let him do it, and we lost every penny we had after they transferred us to Denver. And, of course, Denver was where we got married, so we were back in a place where we loved.
So did that company go out of business?
Pardon?
The company in Seattle, did it go out of business?
Yeah, it went out of business after they moved us to Denver and bought a home and got all settled. Then they transferred him to Houston for 9 months, and I only saw him every 6 weeks. And so when he hurt his back down there when he was closing down the office, he ended up having 4 back surgeries over the next 20, 30 years and died of brain cancer. But
how much did he get for the house, and how much did he invest?
Well, he invested, I think, probably $30,000.
Which would be, now this is what, maybe 30, 40 years ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, I want people to understand that way back then, I mean, a teacher made $5,000 a year.
I know.
So $30,000 was a lot of money. That would be like $300,000 today.
Well, I don't want to think about that, but anyway, yeah, it was a lot of money, and it was a lot of money then.
Well, let me tell you, we all lose money. It happens to all of us, I think.
Yeah,
so,
but you feel so stupid when it happens, and you could have said something, but I wouldn't say anything because I loved him. Yeah. But anyway, this affair continued somewhat after we moved, and I had flown down there or flown down here for a conference and brought my daughter to stay with my mother and dad for a couple of weeks. And then they were going to drive her home. Yeah. Well, they drove her back to Denver and we were sitting eating dinner one night and it was on my husband's birthday and the phone rang. So I ran to the bedroom to answer it and it was the girlfriend. And she says, "Hi, honey, I'd like to speak to Jerry." And I said, "Just a minute." So I called him back to the bedroom and I put my hand over the phone and I said, "Here's the deal. I said, you tell her while I'm standing here, you never want to hear from her. You never want to see her. Or I'm taking our daughter. I'm going back with my mother and dad and you will never see her again. Do you understand?" And I mean it. And I did mean it. And he told her right then. And it wasn't, I guess, maybe 6 months later, an auto train restructured and they called him to go back to work.
Wow.
So I know. And I said, "Please don't do this." And he said, "Well, if I do, I'll be able to get at least 10 years in towards retirement." So for that reason only, I agreed to it. So he flew to Florida. They offered him the job and we had to be back down here within a week. And we were. I had to pack it all up again.
Wow.
And move back here. They made a lot of promises which weren't kept. And within, I think he worked long enough to get the 10 years and then he quit because they would not give him weekends off. And it was.
Was this out of that? What's the town that's out of the auto train? I've taken that to Washington.
Lorton, Virginia.
And down here.
It's Sanford here.
Sanford, Florida. So did you live here or did you live in Lorton, Virginia?
Well, we lived here when he worked for him.
Yeah.
And then he would go to Washington, to Lorton up there, and play and have his time off.
Oh, you mean with someone else?
Oh, yeah, with the girls on the train. So they'd go up there and have fun. Then he'd come home to a nagging mother and kids that wanted daddy, and, you know, it was not pleasant. But anyway, it all worked out. So
what did he do for the auto train?
He was a mechanical supervisor, and he oversaw the girls as they were hostesses and did their thing on the train.
Have you
ever ridden the auto train, the original?
I took the auto train. I got the best car money could buy. You know why? They gave me a real discount because they wanted me to do a radio show about the auto train.
My goodness.
Yeah. And it was very romantic. I felt like I was in one of those, who's the lady that writes all those mysteries where it takes place on the auto on the trains?
Oh, yeah.
Agatha Christie?
Yeah, that's so funny because we always got the best one when we rode the train, too. In fact, there was a lady that rode the train one time that wanted to hire my husband to be her, I don't know what, her man on the train just to take care of her. And he said, "No, I don't think my wife would approve of that." And she wouldn't have.
Well, but there's a lot of very wealthy people that take the train because they fear flying.
Well, he loved working for the train because he'd always liked trains. We had a 3-car garage, and half of it was model railroad.
Well, see, some people that gather a lot of finances and they do well become more fearful than average people because when you haven't got a lot, you haven't got a lot to lose. If you've got lot to lose, then it becomes Dr. Norman Vincent Peale said the mind, the river of the mind can only flow in one direction at a time. It's either fear or it's faith. It's either positive or it's negative. You can try it sometime. Don't do it right now, but think of 3 reasons why today's a bad day. Well, I could have had this. I could have done this instead of it. Could be this where I got this bill or whatever's going on. It gets easier and easier as you mention negative things to become more negative. Take the stop that and now say, why is today a great day? Well, I got my health. I got this. All of a sudden it becomes very, so it's much easier. So anyway, so people who have put their hope in riches have a fear because if you take that away, that's their whole personality. Those people, in other words, like remember in 2008 when the economy was really, really tough and there was a lady in town here and she had millions. And she goes, "I don't know what I'm going to do. I had millions. It's all gone, and I'm in my mid-60s, and I've never worked, and I don't know what to do." So her whole life, her whole who she was dependent upon the money and not having a foundation. Remember, you had good parents. So they had structured you with a firm foundation, whether you were rich or in poor, want or need, or in abundance, you were still the same person, someone who relies on an outside source to give them that confidence. Well, let's talk more about your book. So your husband, right here, you sent me a letter. My husband died of brain cancer in 2014. I kept a journal. He had left me in 1970 for another woman. And he actually encouraged you to write this book. So this was sort of like penance for him, right? He wanted you to write it and tell the whole story. So God, because God restored your marriage miraculously after 14 years, he went, or 18 years, he went around, fooled around, ended up coming back, and you had 54 successful years of marriage because you were willing to forgive him.
Yes. Now, he was dying of brain cancer. He was at home. And he said, honey, let's write a book. And I said, what about? And he says, well, you probably don't know it, but I read your journal when I left you. Oh. I said, oh, really? I said, I never knew. You didn't share that fact
so
with
did
me.
He steal he said, the no. journal? Did he borrow it? Or
he just took it from the closet. I didn't have it hidden very well, and I really never thought he'd read it. But he did. And he says, let's write a book. And I said, do you realize how bad it's going to make you look? He said, yes. And I said, are you able to deal with that? And he said, yes. He says, I think we need to tell people that God has restored our marriage and they don't always have to end in divorces. And I said, I'll start typing if you want to read it and we'll see where it goes.
Now, hold on a second. But now, were you an author yet?
Am I an author?
No. Were you an author at that time?
No.
So where did he got this idea that you had an ability to write somehow?
No. I was writing all these little poems to him.
Ah.
So I wrote
So he knew you were a decent writer. Poems.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I was, but I had never thought about publishing anything.
All right.
So anyway, I typed up several chapters, and I gave it to him, and he broke down. And I said, what's wrong? I said, this was your idea. And he says, honey, I can't do it. I can't believe I treated you that way and I was that bad. I said, honey, I didn't write the bad parts. I just put the good parts in. And he said, well, I know I can't read it then.
You actually said that you said you left out the bad parts?
I did. I didn't want to make him look bad. And I wanted to honor him and honor God, but yet get the story out there.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Stand here and tell you I've got it all figured out, and that I've never questioned God or disobeyed. But you will never know the time